This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load up the phone lines. Remember, we're only here until 10:30. That's when Washington State pregame begins. And, of course, we've got Dave Grosby joining us at 9:30. Let's go to Tim in Renton. Hey, Tim.
Hey, John. First of all, it's an honor to talk to you as a Hall of Famer. And I just want to go off on the biggest problem facing the Seahawks.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that is, it is this so-called first-play schedule. Now, in the NFL, don't they schedule teams coming off a first-place finish the previous year with a much more difficult schedule?
Yes, 100%. It's even tougher this year. You know, for example, in the case of the Seahawks, I mean, you get the first-place schedule, so that means you have to play two other first-place teams in the NFC. But also, I mean, you get you have the addition of the 17th game. And with the 17th game, you know, you have to play, like, for example, that was the game last week in Pittsburgh, and the game was on the road because all the NFC teams have to play at the AFC teams, which makes it even more difficult. So, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and you can see, like, for example, you know, Washington in a bad division. Now, you know, Dallas looks like they're going to run away with the division this year, but last year they didn't have Dak Prescott. But Washington won the division. And so what ended up happening, you know, they have three first place games because, you know, now they have to play, Buffalo or so. They get two other games in the NFC. And so now all of a sudden they're three games tougher than all the other teams in their division.
Yeah, John, this is everybody in the NFL is so proud of this so-called parity, but it's manufactured parity that makes it very difficult on a team like the Seahawks,
yeah,
who are finishing high year in, year out in their division, and they play these horrible matchups year after year. It just makes it very difficult to repeat, yet they've done that.
Yeah, they have, and that's why I don't think – and again – you know me, I cover the schedule probably as much as anybody in the who covers the league, you know, because, again, I'm always looking at the schedule because, again, who has the toughest schedule? Like, for example, which is amazing to me, you look at the success in the AFC, right? You know, the fact that you now got, three teams with winning records, you know, Cleveland, Baltimore, and now Cincinnati. You know, you got Pittsburgh at 500, but all those teams in that division have the toughest schedules. Like Pittsburgh's schedule is like 579, which is amazingly tough based on last year's record. But somehow, some way, you know, they have right now the winningest division in the NFL.
Yeah, and then all these primetime matchups that they scheduled in the offseason that look good are not going to be good at the end of the year because all these first-place teams beat up on each other.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, the Cardinals, they're doing well. Well, here's a correlation. They finished in last place last year, and they're enjoying that easy schedule right to the top.
It sure helps. There's no doubt about it. And then, of course, I mean, it does help in, like, say, the division matchups that you have. You know this year, even though, you know, it looks like the Seahawks have a good chance to go 3-1 against the AFC South, they're playing the AFC South. They're able to get Indy in the first game and win that one. They lost a close one to Tennessee. Yeah, they got Jacksonville next week, Houston later in the season. So they should go 3-1 in that. And then now it's a matter of matching up against the NFC North. And we're still waiting to see how good that division is going to be. You know, Minnesota's up and down. Chicago's up and down. Green Bay's Green Bay. And Detroit's one of the worst teams in football.
That's going to be tough to match up against those teams. I don't care what anybody says. That Minnesota game,
yeah,
that's just one you got to throw out. They were like that. They were winless at that point.
Uh-huh.
They're a proud team. They're going to win that game at home when they're winless. So, you know, we could throw that one out. But Seahawks are a few plays away from being, you know, in like a Super Bowl contender here this year. I know that's extremely optimistic. Maybe I should pump the brakes a little bit there.
Yeah, but again, you would agree with me that this is a must game, and they must win.
I'm with you. I'm with you 1,000% on that. Last week was a little bit of a must win, but yeah, this one is definitely getting there. So, yeah, but, you know, indications are looking good. So, you know, like I forget, somebody said, I think yesterday, that, like, Seattle's still in preseason mode. You know, they need to, you know, gel a little bit more. You know, everybody was taking it easy in the preseason. But so, you know, hopefully, you know, Geno's going to be even better this time out, and they'll win this one.
Yeah, yeah, you would hope so. And again, it's like this one's going to be critical. Certainly, it's going to they've got to have Alex Collins back, you know, to have the running game, because the one thing the Saints do is they do a great job of stopping the run, and that's the strength they have, and they make such an emphasis on that. And if it's going to be one-dimensional where they're going to have to pass the ball, you know, 60, 70% of the time, then they're going to be in trouble, particularly with the backup quarterback. I don't care how good Geno Smith is, it's still going to be tough. Hey, it was tough last year and parts of this year when Russell Wilson has to pass the ball more than 60% of the time, because when you pass the ball too much and not run the ball successfully, what ends up happening, you get turnovers.
I am a huge fan of what Alex Collins brings. It was apparent in the, I think it was the second half last game, when he just took over.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Also, Rashad Penny, have high hopes. Hope he can bounce back from this injury and just be electric. So a few indications on the, you know, pointing up here. So let's hope it's a big win.
Yeah, they need it. I mean, again, this is going to be critical. I mean, it's going to be a lot of pressure on this team. I mean, you can see that the tension's already there. Fan base is already, you know, question. And then, of course, what you also wonder about is how's the weather going to be? Because I know initially a week ago it was supposed to be dry and a little bit chilly. Now they're talking about we got the winds coming up tonight. And then, of course, we may have rain in the game on Monday night. That's going to make it tough.
Well, it's giving me something to look forward to on Monday after starting the work week.
yeah, no doubt about it. Because, again, it's like, hey, it's football, it's the Seahawks, it's an important game. And, again, a win will solve a lot of different things, because now that would put them at 3-4 with Jacksonville, who they should beat pretty easily. That's 4-4, and they have a chance to bounce back. And, you know, I know that I think Robbie Wagner and others talked about how they bounced back in 2015 from the 2-4 season. And I don't see it being that much different, because the one thing I still look at is that you look at the NFC and there's only six teams currently with winning records. And if that's going to be the case, you've got seven playoff spots. So there's an open playoff spot, maybe two, depending on, you know, what ends up happening this weekend, is that the, you know, the playoff spots give the chance to try to count and bounce back.
And there's an extra playoff spot this year. Am I right about that?
Well, there was last year, and so it's like the second straight. Yeah. So, yeah, there's seven playoff spots.
So, yeah, I mean, it's in their favor if they can turn it around. It's a big ask, though, considering that, you know, it's one of those years where everything's just been going wrong.
Right. But let's see if they can bounce back.
It's early. Yeah, it's early. Thanks, John. I hope you have a good rest of the day.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Definitely give us a call here as we try to do it. We can also take your text questions, taking your text questions at 206-421-ESPN on the Mac and Jack's text line. From the 206, do you think that we could see the NFL season expand again in the near future, maybe 20 weeks, and have a second bye week for every team? No, I don't think the players are going to go for it. They were reluctant to go for the 17th game. They're going to be reluctant to go for the 18th game, and to think that you can have another extra week or so, I don't see it happening, because, again, the players, rightfully so, are worried about injuries, because the longer you go, and particularly later in the season, the more chance you have of injuries. So I don't see that happening. It'd be nice for us to be able to eliminate the preseason games and have more regular season games, but I don't see it happening. 360, any news on Wilson when you see him back on the field? I mean, according to Pete Carroll yesterday, things are encouraging. I know on Monday or Tuesday, he's having the pins taken out of his finger. And so the plan right now is to get him ready after the bye week for the Green Bay game. And right now I think he's on path to possibly do that. From the 425, well, the Seahawks playing Monday night, should they, what should be watching on Sunday? Just watch the games. I mean, you know, there's, you know, obviously some good games that'll be there. You want to watch as many as you possibly can, so I would do that. And so from the 253, Professor, with Russell Wilson out, how do you see the NFC West shaking out this season? Well, right now I think it's a battle with Seattle trying to see if they can make the third team as the wild card team in this coming from this division. It's between Arizona and the Rams. Arizona's got one win over the Rams. And so you put all that together, I think that you can see that, you know, I don't know if Arizona can sustain this. We know the Rams can because they're a good team and they got Matthew Stafford at quarterback. But, you know, I think it's a two-way division. And again, what I worry about with the 49ers, even though they could be the third team in this division to go to the playoffs, I just concerned about their injuries because, like, for example, it just doesn't stop. I mean, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, missed the last game. You know, they've got injuries in the secondary. Now this week, you know, Trent Williams isn't going to be able to play because of an ankle injury. They won't have Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle. He's got a knee injury. So you put all that stuff together, and it eventually catches up to you. And so because of that, you want to make sure that you know you can get healthy, but they haven't been healthy for the last couple years. So we'll see where that ends up going. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby joining us here at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, remember, we're only here till 10:30. That's why we need to load up those phone lines because, you know, we're going to have a shorter show. We got, the Washington State pregame show at 10:30 with Washington State, you know, playing at 12:30. Let's go to Chris in Everett. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, John?
How's it going?
Hey, I know the last time I called was I got my new phone. It's all fixed now. So, anyways, the Seahawks. Can the Seahawks beat the Saints on Monday Night Football tomorrow?
Yeah, they can. Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Can they? Yes. Will they? Okay. I don't know. I mean, again, you know, there's so many things uncertain, and really, it's uncertain for both teams because I mean, you look at the Saints and you look at all the injuries that they've had. Now, again, they're at the stage this week, you know, with seven guys that have been designated to possibly come off the injured reserve list, you know, they're going to get a little bit healthier. I mean, for example, they may have Kwame Alexander at linebacker. They may have Marcus Davenport. You know, they may get DaQuell Smith, at wide receiver. So, you know, they may get a little healthier, and they're not going to get all seven guys back. But they've been certainly going in one of the most shorthanded teams in the National Football League. Yet, even though they've been up and down, they've got a 3-2 record.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Huskies are 1-3-4. So I doubt they go to the playoffs, but no, definitely something in the future they will. Hey, got another question about the Cardinals. Do you think they might run off? It kind of looks like it to me, but I'm not sure about you, Professor. Do you think the Cardinals might run off and get a first round bye in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl?
They could. I mean, because again, right now, I mean, it's like anything else. This is a quarterback driven league. And right now, Kyler Murray's playing some of the best quarterback in this league. And if that continues and their defense stays the way it has, then they do have a decent chance of getting a high seed and winning the division. Still comes down to, you know, can they stay ahead of the Rams? Because I think the Rams have a better team. I think, you know, certainly I know their defense has not performed anywhere close to where it was last year, but they got Matthew Stafford at quarterback and they got Sean McVay coaching. So you put all that together and there's a decent chance that they can, you know, make that run. But we'll see. It's not right now a two-way race in this division for the top.
Hey, Seahawks, I know last week, or I think it was this week, you said about the Seahawks. Do you think they might get to the wild card?
Yeah, I think they have a chance. I mean, a lot's going to depend on this week's game because all of a sudden, if you're talking, you know, five wins and, now the margin of error goes down, or five losses if they lose, you know, then you know, what you're talking about, it's going to be that much tougher because I think, you know, I know last year Chicago made it at 8-8. You know, maybe you can get a 9-8 team to be able to make it this year with the 17th game being added. But you only have six teams right now in the NFC that have winning records. And if that's the case and you can have a winning record, then you have a chance to make it in.
So, I know we could beat the Saints and the Jaguars. And then, okay, so Russell Wilson, he might come back probably like week 10 or 11.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Green Bay game after the bye, I think you can see.
Yeah.
He's going to have the pins removed next week, you know, from his finger. And then, of course, they have the bye week after the Jacksonville game. And so that should be enough time for him to at least try to get healthy enough to be able to play.
And then did you and Bob and Dave Wyman from yesterday's show, I always listen to at 4 o'clock,
yeah.
Professor. So
uh-huh.
I'm a huge fan of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you've been so the rookie, I know you guys were talking about him, and then like Dave Wyman's like, oh, I haven't heard anything about Eskridge. I can't.
Yeah.
The rookie of the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be back next couple of weeks? Or
I don't know.
I
don't know because, again, he still, you know, has the concussion problem and hasn't come off the concussion protocol and all those different things. And so I think it's a big concern because it's been this long since he's been on the injured list. So it's like, yeah,
wow.
I'm still concerned about that.
Mm. Have you heard anything about Ken Griffey Jr. recently or about, like, what is he doing? I know he lives in Florida.
Yeah.
I know he has the office up here for at Safeco Field, but...
Yeah, he's got a consultant job with the Mariners, so sounds like, you know, he's still involved. He's still doing good. The times he's in town has been great. I mean, you know, he's got great popularity, obviously. I mean, I go back, and again, I'm a little bit biased on this one because, you know, he went to Denora, PA, and, of course, I used to sit next to one of the guys that was one of his handlers when he was growing up and, you know, at the Seahawk games in the auxiliary press box. And so, yeah, I'm biased, but, again, I mean, you're still talking about one of the greatest players in the history of this league, you know, a Hall of Famer without question, and a guy that is still still valuable to this team.
Yeah. Hey, one more question. I'll let you go, Professor. Who is the? Oh gosh. So, oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of it. It's the quarterback who's the number one quarterback back in the day and now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is, I don't remember what's the word. So I can't remember, but I could tell you some other stuff. Hey, you have a great day. Oh, hey, did you guys want for a date night with your wife or no?
We had to skip last night. Pat was not feeling well, and so she stayed in bed, and we did not go out for Friday night date night.
Okay. Oh, and now just popped in my head. So now I got it, Professor. Who is the greatest? Now, this is a question I was going to ask you. Who was the greatest quarterback of all time right now?
Tom Brady.
Oh, wow. Who's in second?
I think you have to kind of, you know, go with maybe Joe Montana. I mean, that's a consideration. You know, because, again, he was so great. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Joe Montana certainly has got to be right up in there. So it's like, yeah, it's like, but overall, I mean, you know, Tom Brady, I think right now is the greatest.
Okay. And one more question. I'll let you go for sure, Professor. Who's favored in Seattle, the Seahawks or the Saints?
Saints are favored. I think they are.
Wow.
Now, and again, I don't study the odds at all. I mean, again, sometimes I'll look at them, sometimes I won't. But I think right now the Saints are like, I don't know, 3-point favorites or whatever.
Yeah. All right, Professor, you have a great weekend, and go Hawks.
Hey, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby coming up next.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is time for our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. And so, David, how are you today?
John, doing all right. How are you, buddy?
Hanging in there. So, when you look at this game, I mean, obviously it's worrisome because we just don't know week to week what Seahawk defense you're going to see. Mm-hmm. But this game against New Orleans is vital. I think it's a must win. How do you look at this game against the Saints on Monday night?
Well, I agree. I said the same thing last week. And when you looked at the number of games they were going to play without Russell Wilson, this was the one that kind of looked like it would be one that they could get. I mean, one that would tip the scales one way or the other. I think it's Monday night, and it's at home, and that adds a lot to it. You got Geno Smith now with a you know, with a full start under his belt, and so he's a little more familiar with how things are. Of course, Chris Carson being out adds to it, and Rashad Penny, I watched his press conference yesterday. I mean, he sounds ready at least, so he's something of an X factor they can add to the mix. But, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head at the start, John, as you always do. What this game is going to come down to is, can they defensively get the job done against New Orleans? You know, can the defense rise up and play well? And, you know, they've done it in patches. They've done it in quarters. They you could argue at Pittsburgh they probably had their best overall game, and that wasn't particularly good. But, you know, we'll see what happens. This is going to be a serious challenge. And, you know, absolutely right in saying that this game, I think, kind of, you have to say, tips the season, unless we're looking at a collapse in the NFC West the second half of the season, which I don't see coming. You're probably going to play your way out of playoff possibilities if you can't win this game on Monday.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, it's what's weird about this game is that you look at the Saints. I mean, the great job that Sean Payton has done in getting this team to 3-2, despite starting the season down at least 9 starters from last year and then losing starters during the course of the season. Now they're going to get some guys back this week, but still, this is a team right now that's very challenged as far as their depth. But the one thing that they don't have is receivers. You know, Michael Thomas, their only really good wide receiver, is out. He's injured and not going to be back this week. And they have three, you know, other undrafted wide receivers that are starting for him, and those receivers, there's not one of them that has more than 13 catches. And so, I mean, you can't imagine that the Seahawks secondary is going to get destroyed by these wide receivers, and if they do, it's bad on Seattle.
Well, you don't want to imagine it, John. How about that?
Yeah.
You don't want to. You can. You certainly can, based on some stuff you've seen earlier in the year. But, you know, I'm eager to see Trey Brown play another game. He was really, really good last week, I thought, considering it was his debut. And you know, since they're struggling with pass rush and struggling on all aspects of defense a little bit, that's something that should work out in their favor. But, you know, the other thing that the Saints have going for them, and you said his name was Sean Payton, who is an extremely, extremely talented, for lack of a better word, and there really is the perfect word.
Yeah,
a talented offensive mind. I mean, he is a guy that has had some time now to kind of pick at what is a weak defense, and you know, has got some weapons to use. Even though you're right, they're weak at wide receivers. So I would expect over the Seahawks to see some strange sets, some strange plays, and see the Saints throw everything but the kitchen sink at them on Monday.
Yeah, you would have to think so, because that's the way Sean can work, because, again, I mean, he does such a great job. And, I mean, I'd have to say right now that with all the problems that they've had in the team, the fact that they had to spend a month in Dallas because of the hurricane, I mean, to be able to keep this thing together as good as it is to come into this game at 3-2 has been remarkable.
Yeah, and it's it speaks to, you know, you know, from a sports standpoint, what teams are good at. You know, when you got something that you can rally against or rally for, say, you know, not necessarily the usual one of everyone's against us, but, you know, we're all in this together sort of scenario that the Saints have probably lived with, it does make a difference. And, you know, the most important team, or excuse me, the most important thing in pro sports is confidence. And the Saints are an organization much like the Seahawks. When you look at them over the past decade, that their habit is winning. I mean, they're an organization that's used to winning, with most of the players having been there for a few years, used to winning, and teams like that find ways to win. That was really, I thought, was really prominent in the Seahawks game with Pittsburgh. You know, a game where they could have just absolutely rolled over. I mean, it's kind of like the Huskies last night. You know, could have just rolled over and lost, but because the Seahawks are a team that's used to winning, you know, they bounced back, they came back, and that's the Saints. I mean, the adversity, you know, is something that is strength on a winning organization. A losing organization, it can create and usually does chaos. But for a winning organization, it can make you better. So make no mistake about it, it's going to be a difficult matchup on Monday.
Yeah, it really is going to be. And, of course, we don't know exactly what the weather is going to be, because, you know, I don't know. Have you found it strange this year? Now, obviously, I'm in a different state right now as far as, you know, the weather, because it was so hot and so humid, I ended up getting allergies for the longest time. And I've never had allergies before in my life until this year. And so it's like now, I mean, you know, there's been so much of the prediction of rain, and it seems like it's always delayed, which, of course, is great because I'd rather have it not rain. But what's going on with all the forecast of rain?
I don't know, man. I do know that I had a good buddy of mine who I worked with a long time ago said this was one of the most difficult places in the world to predict weather. Because, you know, when weather comes in over the Pacific, it comes in over a glacier and over a rainforest. And you know, to try and predict what is going to happen when it comes to Seattle is very difficult to do. Isn't there supposed to be some sort of, you know, cyclone bomb or something like that that's happening?
Miles an hour or more tonight. Let's hope that doesn't happen because I don't want to lose my power, you know, lose the ability to watch TV, all those different things.
That would be a big factor if you had 40-mile-an-hour winds for the game on Monday, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, but again, it's like, and that's the thing. It's like so often, and that's why, for example, I know that the initial forecast was it was going to be dry and chilly on Monday, and now with the delay in the rain, you know, now the rain may carry over till Monday night.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, maybe at the end of the day it would be something that would benefit the Seahawks to have sloppy conditions although it never really gets sloppy, yeah. That field is so it's such good shape. That wouldn't necessarily be the case, but you know, why not throw in some crazy weather for a Monday night game?
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, I mean, you know, the fans have to, you know, grin and bear it and try to see what they can do to try to at least, you know, keep themselves dry if necessary. And of course, the one thing is, you know, with the weather, you know, that could certainly play into, you know, how the offense goes. But again, you look at the Saints and what, I mean, Jameis Winston's their quarterback, former top pick in the draft, really talented, but they've been so conservative with him because I think there's only been one game where he's thrown 25 or more than 25 passes.
Well, that's smart. I mean, you know, remember what he did before he left Tampa, was lead the league in interceptions, I think, didn't
yeah,
he? His last
he
year in Tampa had 25, so it makes sense for them to try and keep it conservative for him and spoon feed him that offense to take full advantage of what he can do. And you know, I'm not worried about the fans, John. They're mm-hmm. you know, getting back on that, they're used to it, and they're getting a chance tonight to all of a sudden. I tweeted out yesterday that yesterday was the last day that there was a debate about what's the loudest arena in the NHL, because everyone tonight is going to find out what the loudest arena in the NHL is. It's going to be Climate Pledge as the Kraken make their debut tonight, and that's the one thing that I'm confident in predicting is a loud crowd.
No doubt. So what do you think of the Kraken? I know they're off to a 1-4 start. Obviously, having five games in a row haven't helped, but what do you think of their start, and how good of a team is this?
I think they're going to be fine when it all shakes down. I think they have a little bit of problems scoring goals at the moment, but and I also think starting first five on the road is really tough. So I think when they get into the groove a little bit, this is going to be a playoff team. It's not a particularly tough look, this is actually a pretty. I mean, we're just five games in, so you don't get carried away yet. But Vancouver is going to be a pretty good acid test. You know, they haven't been playing particularly well. They aren't looking particularly good. They know them, the Kraken. They played them a couple of times in the preseason. So this will be a good test to see how they fit with the group out west. But I think that they're going to find that playing in front of a Seattle crowd, as the Seahawks know and as the Mariners found out towards the end of this year, is one of the best experiences you can have in sports. It's something that people, I've been here as long as you have, John, almost, you know, 30 plus years. And one thing I do know is that people take being the loudest seriously. And whether it's a Husky game, whether it's a Storm game, whether it's a Washington Husky basketball game, you know, you pick the game, you know, fans have made the difference. And I think that they're going to be just electrified by the response they're going to get from people tonight. And I think also, you know, I had a chance to look at it a few months ago. I think the fans who go are just going to be blown away by what that arena is and what it, you know, bodes for the future. So it's an exciting night tonight for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And so I think that's going to be, you know, the great part about all of this and one of the great things about, you know, and of course, I mean, it's a historic moment because finally, for the first time, you got major hockey here in this town.
Well, since the Metropolitans,
yeah.
And what I think is kind of cool about it, John, I was in Sacramento when when they brought the Kings in, which was a team that had obviously been playing in Kansas City and had a history before that. And, you know, you don't normally get, or it's rarer in these days to get an expansion team that's never been anywhere. And I think that's kind of a cool thing that Seattle has. You know, it's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily mean anything, but, you know, you look at L.A., you look at San Francisco, and you look at, other cities up and down the coast, not Portland because they just got the Blazers, and most every other city has poached a team from somewhere else, you know, has gotten a team from another town. You know, in L.A., it's just about all of them, and in San Francisco, it's, of course, the Giants and the A's for that matter. You know, Seattle hasn't. You know, Seattle has originated all their teams, so I think it's kind of cool that you're getting an expansion team here, that the history starts with the Kraken for the NHL here in Seattle. And again, I expect a wild night tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
University of Washington was able to get the win last night on a Friday night against Arizona. What was your thoughts? I didn't get a chance to watch the game. But,
you're lucky, John.
It was pretty bad to watch.
Oh. Well, you know, well, Arizona is probably the worst team playing Division I football, and they've lost 18 in a row. And they were down, I think they were down to their third string quarterback and minus their top tailbacks. And they almost ran Washington off the field in the first half. You know, I credit Washington for not rolling over. I mean, they were down 13-0, outgained 145-65. You know, it was just awful, and they managed to come back and win. Now, it was against a bad team. It was nothing to be excited about, but the fact of the matter is it was a win, not a loss. They did come back and get it, so I'll give them credit for that. I like the fact that they showed a little bit of that in the second half, but, boy, when you watch the first half of that game, John, after that first half, it was – let me tell you something. It was as bad as anything in the winless season of 2008. You know, you really thought that the program had hit its low point, and you know, maybe it had, because they did manage to come back and scrape out a win, which is something hopefully they can build on, because you know, it was just, the alternative is too painful to consider. It was a comeback win, and that's a good thing on the road, no matter how bad the team is.
Now, Washington State's pregame is going to be beginning at 10:30, 12:30 game for Washington State. But, of course, we haven't had a chance to talk to this on the air. But, you know, your thoughts on Tim Rolovich and the fact that he got fired for not getting a vaccine.
I thought it was I'm in the camp of those who think it was pretty selfish on his standpoint, and he kind of left the team in a lurch, and I think that's unfortunate. I think he could have made his intentions clearer earlier. He could have made his intentions clear. He never did make them clear, for that matter. He just did what he did. And, you know, I heard some of the criticism from others about it, and I agree with most of it. I think it's really, really unfortunate for the team. And I'm curious to see how they bounce back against BYU, because, you know, I have no doubt that lots of guys in the team like the coach. I mean, you know, they gave him a big Gatorade bath when they pulled off their win last week. They got a tough matchup with BYU this week, and I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping they can bounce back, but I think it was a lousy situation that Rolovich, you know, I'm not going to say created for himself, but you know, he kind of did create it for himself, and I think it's too bad for those kids. We'll see. We'll see if we talk. We're coming full circle on the segment. We talked about resilience, and you know, maybe Washington State will have a chance to show some of their own today.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I mean, again, the selfishness of what he did. Now, of course, he's suing the university, because I'm sure they're trying to take away his $3 million a year paycheck.
Of course.
But of course, they should. But it's like, I mean, can you tell me? You're an employee for the state in some ways, in the sense that you're coaching at a college and
State University
and all that stuff. And of course, the mandate, and it's going to start, what is it, the 25th, as far as if you go to a restaurant, you have to show a vaccinated card, or you have to show the ability that you've had a test for COVID in the last several days. And it's like, and you have to have a positive, you know, have to have a, you know, a negative test on that. It's like, and he's a coach out there every day with his players, and he doesn't get vaccinated.
No, and, you know, I mean, I don't know if he was expecting special treatment, and I credit Washington State for you know, saying that everyone who put in for a religious exemption, it was a blind judging thing that they judged it by, so that he didn't have any you know, special consideration because he was a football coach, and maybe that's what he thought would save him at the end, and at the end it did not save him.
Could you understand the idea that it's like he wanted no vaccine and he had it for religious reasons? I mean, I know he's a Catholic and all that stuff, but isn't that the silliest argument you can have?
Well, there are probably sillier ones, but you know, it was clearly not found to be palatable by those who judged it. So it's just a head scratcher for me,
yeah.
John. I just don't understand not doing it. But even if you're not going to do it, I don't understand going about it the way you went about it, because at the end of the day, it hurts the team.
So now, what's on the agenda for the Gras?
Trying to avoid the cyclone bomb.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to rain. It's going to be windy soon. Right, John. Right.
That's right. Right. Let's hope it doesn't go bad, because I don't want to lose power and I want to lose the ability to watch TV. It's like all those different things. You know, it's so important right now to be able to come back and be able to, you know, do whatever. So let's hope it's not going to be too bad.
Hear you, buddy.
And that's our weekly dose of the Gras with Dave Grosby. Dave, have yourself a great weekend.
You too, John. Talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. And again, we're on till 10:30, so short show today because of the Washington State pregame show. They're going to get Washington State pregame at 10:30. So it's like, let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Actually, I'm recovering.
Uh-oh.
Kind of sick earlier in the week. I went and took a COVID test.
Uh-huh.
It actually came back negative.
Thank you. That's good.
It went real quick. We went there about 12:30 yesterday, and by this morning I had the results.
That's good.
That's amazing.
What seems to be ailing?
Oh, it's just cold and flu symptoms.
Okay.
You know, it was really, you know, cough and fever and chills and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it broke this morning.
That's good.
So I'm feeling better. Which brings me to the Washington State coach. The thing that gets me is that he is supposed to be the leader of young men.
Mm-hmm.
And you mean to tell me he doesn't have any vaccinations, like the ones we all got prior to going to school, for like smallpox and all that other stuff that we get? You know, all those vaccinations where they shoot you in the arm and you get the scab on it. But, you know, it's just amazing that there's so much bad information out about the vaccine. My wife and I, we've had three shots already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with me being in that age category, but I just don't see it. The thing is, if you either get shot or you're going to get sick.
No, I agreed. And again, I mean, it's not, and to me, it's so selfish in the standpoint that you affect your family, you affect the people that you work with, you affect everybody else, and it's like if you end up getting a positive test. And you have more chances of that if you haven't had the vaccine. To me, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there. Sooner or later, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
But having said all that, I was listening with some amusement when you were talking about early in the week about losing all your video and everything.
Yeah.
Was that on like a TiVo or a DVR?
No, because again, it's DirecTV, and DirecTV. I mean, you tape. And it saves, but there's nothing that there's nothing you can do on DirecTV, and this is DirecTV only that can protect it.
So
like, nothing.
One of the things that I did, they years ago they made these DVR recorders, DVD recorders. You can actually record the stuff that you have saved on your box from DirecTV. You can actually record those, but
they said, I mean, they told me, and again, obviously, I've been in a lot of conversations with them in the last week. Is that that it doesn't work on DirecTV? I mean, you can't put it on iCloud. I mean, you can't retape. There's nothing you can do on DirecTV to protect the 12 years of precious memories and different things that I saved through the years.
Huh.
None. Zero.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up was the coaching. You were talking about somebody called in talking about black coaches and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. The only thing worse than not having any black coaches is having the wrong black coach. Because they would use that as an example, said, see, you can't hire these guys. They don't know nothing. They don't do nothing. They can't lead. And that's why a lot of coaches don't get rehired once they get a head coaching job. Now, you bring up Ken Norton. I have no problem personally with Ken Norton. I just like football. I like good football. And I go to the games not because there's a black coach there. I go there to see the Seahawks win. I mean, that's my team. I've been watching them for years. But and I said before, I got nothing personally against Norton. I think he's an excellent linebacker coach. But as far as the big picture as a defensive coordinator, I think he has some shortcomings. That's all. I don't want to run the man into the ground or because, you know, he's got enough problems digging out of this hole that, that he seems to be in again this year. But
by the way, do you stand by where I position myself? Because, you know, everybody wants everybody fired now.
Well, like
I don't go for it. It's like, hey, if anything happens to Ken Norton Jr., and it could, it happens after the season. Or maybe it should have happened before the season, but they won 12 games last year.
Well, so I gave you my solution. I said to bring in some help.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, the guy that I mentioned was Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unemployed right now. He's sitting around. But just bring in somebody else and to bounce things off of him,
mm-hmm.
and maybe kind of just steer him in the right direction. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that I can agree with. I think that'd be a very good idea.
Yeah.
But again, the idea of firing him now, I don't go for it. And again, I want to support black coaches as much as possible because, I mean, here it is. It's like, what, 60, 70% of the league are black players. And again, I mean, what do we have, two or three black coaches? I mean, yeah, it's like, and then, of course, I mean, you bring up the idea. It's like, okay, so if a black coach struggles and then it hurts other coaches, I mean, David Curley is down there in Houston on a horrible team, and it's not his fault. And then, you know, he'll take the fall, which is unfortunate, for what's going to be a bad season.
Yeah. And the other subject that came up was the Congress getting involved with the NFL.
Yeah.
I think they should because the NFL is a billion-dollar industry, and they're in multiple states, and they're basically unregulated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're taking advantage of these young girls. I mean, what if it was your daughter or your niece or whatever? And they got pictures of them, and they're passing these things around, and it's just totally disgusting. And they're supposed to have an investigation. That's a sham.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners are never held to account. I mean, I give you the New England owner who got busted in a sex sting. You know, kind of like Mitch in the Morning got busted, but you know he did hard. He lost his job, but the owners and the rich guys they never do. So the only people that can actually hold them accountable is Congress. And, I disagree with a lot of things they're doing and things they should be doing. They got a lot of work stuff on their plate right now. But they're the only ones that can really because, you know, not only the sex thing, it's the racial thing. He's talking about the guy's lips and it's just a good old boy. I mean, emails, how could you say stuff like that in an email? You know, my parents would say to me, don't say anything in public that you wouldn't want to, in private that you wouldn't want put in a newspaper.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, you got to be, there's certain things about, having certain morals about things and treating people the way you want to be treated. But all I got to say is I hope the Seahawks win on Monday night. I'm going to be there as long as I'm feeling good. I'm in the club level, and I'm sitting way back, and I'm covered, man.
There you go.
The wind would have to be blowing sideways to get me, so I'll be there.
Hey, Rick, thank you, and thank you for the phone call. Marcus in Puyallup, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after we get through a break. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And again, we're here at 10:30. That's when Washington State pregame begins. Taking your phone calls, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Marcus in Puyallup. Hey, Marcus.
What's up, John? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, I wanted to talk about our player-friendly future Hall of Famer head coach, Pete Carroll.
Right.
Pete has a he's had a pretty good career here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in his time here in Seattle, we've heard pound fire shoddy, pound fire Ken, pound fire Bevel, pound fire Tom Cable. We've never heard pound fire Pete, even though most of the blunders have been on Pete's shoulders. You know, the inability to adjust at halftime, the inability to field a serviceable offensive line. I believe Dwayne Brown was the most notable pickup that we've made in the last decade, and we have not. He's done almost nothing to, other than, you know, D'Lou and Gabe Jackson that we're doing this year. Mm-hmm. His run first, like, we're seeing it that teams that run first are typically not winning Super Bowls. They're getting into the playoffs, but that's where the buck stops. You know, if any team that's not ran by Tom Brady, run first isn't just going to work. And then you look at our division now and our lack of receivers. We have DK and Tyler, and that's it. And that's it. Look at the Cards. They have a platoon of receivers over there. Look at the Rams. They got a platoon of receivers over there. Even the Niners, they got receivers that they can count on outside of their top two.
Well, I disagree on the 49ers. I mean, because
Sheffield, Trent Sheffield's legit.
Who's that?
Trent Sheffield. Sherfield, however you say his last name.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him yet. I mean, certainly Deebo Samuel is fantastic, but Brandon Ayuk mm-hmm. has been up and down all year, and I'm not sold totally on Sheffield yet, because again, I kind of could put him in the category, it's like with Freddie Swain and guys like that. But it's like, no, I mean they've got one really good receiver, and I think that's it. And obviously they have George Kittle, but he's on injured reserve right now. But
Yeah,
but you're right on the Rams, because they've been able to get some stuff out of 34-year-old DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, right. So I mean, I'm just, at what point, in your opinion, this is why I'm calling, really, is at what point, in your opinion, does Seattle? Because Pete has full control of the team.
Right.
Who can fire him if he needs to be fired? How does that happen? What does that look like? And who, like, talk to me.
Jody Allen's the one who would fire him. I mean,
she didn't pay attention enough to fire him.
No, I agree. And so it's like, say what you want. I mean, the season isn't over yet. I know this season doesn't look good, and there's more than a glowing chance that this team will not make the playoffs. But again, they won 12 games last year, but they've only missed, I think, mm-hmm. one playoff since Pete Carroll's been coach. It's like, but now you do have fans talking about the idea of firing Pete Carroll, and I think, come on, man, that's ridiculous.
So I'm actually in the minority, and I believe that Pete Carroll is actually a great coach and that we are going to be in the playoffs this year. I believe that in my bottom of my heart. I actually put $1,000 in Vegas on it because of the odds were in my favor.
Okay.
So I really believe it. So I'm not knocking him for that. I'm knocking him for his ability to keep us in games and to not be outcoached. Sean McVay outcoaches Pete Carroll regularly. It's like, and like you'll see Tyler Lockett get on like, oh, they just had a better game plan than we did. Like, mm-hmm. not that they're a better team. They just had a better game plan. They've fielded a better team. We went into this season knowing that we needed DB help. We went into this season knowing we needed linebacker help. Like, not signing KJ Wright didn't make any sense. Not trying to bring in some solid cornerback help didn't make any sense. Jamal Adams looked like a superstar in New York, and he looks like a bum in Seattle. You know, and like out in coverage only. And like,
yeah.
Outside of coverage, Jamal looks legit. But in coverage, he looks lost. It's almost like, what's happening in training camp that this kid looks different now? What's happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really put your hand on it, your eye or whatever the case may be. So I'm trying to get a good understanding of what's the best course. I know a friend of mine said, he goes, if you can show me a Hall of Fame head coach to replace Pete, then I'll talk. But until then, I don't want to hear it. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But at the same time, do we think that what's the head coach out in the Cards? Do we think at some point he's going to be a Hall of Fame head coach?
Cliff
Probably
Kingsbury?
Not.
No.
I don't think he will ever be a Hall of Famer. I don't think he has it in him. He built a team full of superstars. Mm-hmm. That's what they have right now, and that's why they're undefeated, because they have a team full of superstars. As soon as they pay Kyler, they can't pay all the other people that they have right now.
Right, agreed. Yeah, so, but again, okay, it's so, like they're enjoying this season, and Kyler Murray in his third year has done a phenomenal job, so that has to be encouraging.
Yeah, and then I also wanted to bring up another mm-hmm. point. So your idea is that you don't want to fire Pete. But I also want to bring up, I was watching, I usually keep ESPN on my TV and I watch it on a regular basis.
Right.
I do not usually change it. I was in the background and I was listening to some of the analysts, and I started noticing that there's been a big turnover. Like, they've shifted from people who actually know football to people who, it doesn't appear that they know what they're talking about. They can't explain coverages to me. They don't recognize that someone was in cover four as opposed to a cover two. They don't know the difference between the two. And I'm just trying to figure out as to why that's happening.
Economics, because again, I was all part of this myself because I was that first group of 100 that was let go for economic reasons. And so what ends up happening is that, I'm thankful. I loved ESPN. And still do.
Nice.
I mean, they were so good to me. They've set up, a great life for myself, a great career for myself, and all those different things. But again, to keep on TV, it costs money. And so what's happening right now is that you have people heading toward the end of their contracts, and they're not getting renewed because of the money. And so they're hiring people making less money to come in and fill in the gaps.
Okay. I was starting to think it was political.
No. Understand this is that one of the things, and I know some people some people ended up losing their jobs at ESPN because they were too political. And I know the mandate when I was there, and particularly toward the end when things, started to get so political, is that don't bring up politics on the air. We're a sports station.
Yeah.
Let's talk sports. Hey, thank you for the phone call, Marcus.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
All right, let's go to Ed in Denver. Hey, Ed.
Morning, John.
Good morning.
Hope you and Pat are having a good Saturday morning.
Well, we'll see.
And had a good date night last night.
We did not. She did not feel well, so we did not go out for Friday night date night.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know. I am too, so... Yeah,
have you had your third shot yet?
No, and I'm not worried about it.
No,
it's like I'm in no hurry. I mean, again, when I got the shot in May, they told me 8 months. So it's like, okay, at the very least, I'll do it in 8 months, and I'm not rushing it. There's no reason. I got a Johnson & Johnson. I'll get a Johnson & Johnson the next time. And again, I am not right now in a rush to get the third shot. Because, again, I'm not out enough.
You're in good shape right now.
Well, because, again, think about this. I mean, where do I go that puts me in a position to be able to catch much? I go to, pharmacies to pick up medicine for my wife, and usually I can drive through. Like, I have to go to Walgreens today, and it's going to be a drive through. I'll go to I'm fortunate enough that I don't have to go to many grocery stores. I have to, go and, I'll take Pat to dinner. I'll go pick up dinner, but I'll always go at like 4:30 or so early, so there's hardly anybody there. So it's like the only person I'm around is that. And then, of course, I'm up and down right now on going to games on the sidelines. But it's like, other than that, where am I? Where am I in a position to really catch anything from anybody else?
No, you're in a good spot.
Yeah,
I think you're doing well. You don't need your third shot, I guess in your case, your second shot. Yet,
yeah,
but get it at the 6 to 8 months.
And I will. I mean, again, it's like I'm.
Should be good. Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's like I'm not going to rush it because again, there is no reason to rush it. I work out of the house, so it's not like I'm going into an office or anything of that nature. So it's like, why rush it?
I'm with you. So you had some issues with DirecTV. I didn't know about that.
Oh,
what happened? You lost all your video?
Yep. 12 years. 12 years of video. And again, people keep saying, how come you didn't back it up? DirecTV has no ability for you to back up anything that you tape through the years. There's nothing. There's no iCloud. There's no DVR. There's nothing. If you lose it, you lose it. I lost it.
Wow. So DirecTV, as you probably know, was bought by AT&T.
Yeah.
But now AT&T is giving it back.
Yeah.
And DirecTV is going to be its own entity again.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be a good thing.
I think, honestly, having spent as much time I have in the last 2 weeks talking to them, I think it is going to be a good thing, because if you go back, you know, particularly with the DirecTV, you go back with Sunday Ticket, you know, back when it was run exclusively by DirecTV, it was run very well. And so I think that now can continue, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like in our Montana place, as I was telling you before, we have DirecTV.
Yeah.
We just got a new satellite because I was upgrading and a new box and all those things. So we now get like 176 channels. But, oh, by the way, we don't get an ABC channel, so that's a bit of a pain. But yeah, the guy that installed the new satellite had nothing good to say about AT&T, but everything good to say about DirecTV. So it doesn't help your past, but maybe going forward it will be good.
Yeah, like for example, I got to call DirecTV today just to make sure that because I have a Comcast down here in the office, but I don't have the Comcast Digital where I can get ESPN for Monday night, and so I have to try to connect with my cell phone, which of course it's been up and down. I mean, it was never working for about a year, but now I tried it twice this morning. And it was able to get the ESPN 206, and I just got to make sure I can at least watch the game as I'm doing the sidelines on Monday.
Yeah. Can't make the game on Monday just because of work. Just finished 17 days in a row of working, so.
Yep.
that stinks, but enjoy the game. As I look at the ESPN pickers, I see only Fowler, Graziano, and Wickersham are picking CX to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting to see Wickersham's pick because sometimes is a little off the wall, but he often is right.
Yeah.
So how do you see that game playing out?
I think they have a chance. Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to.
I think they have a chance. I mean, because again, it's like this isn't a great Saints team. It's a good Saints team, but not a great Saints team. It's not the Saints team of last year. And, it's a home game. I know that they don't have Russell Wilson, but I think they have a chance. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call.
Hey, have a great day, John.
Okay, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Let's go, and we only have about 3 minutes left before we go to Washington State football. Let's go to Commando Dave. Hey, Commando.
Hey, what's up, John Clayton? Man, it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show from Buckley's in Queen Anne on a historic Seattle sports day. And Tim Buckley said, tell the professor to get down here soon. Shout out to Matt DMC Nelson for getting me on the airways of 710 Cairo, home of the blood pressure-raising Seahawks, so I can bring it to the show. And when I say historic Seattle sports day, John Clayton, it's been a long time coming. It seems like it's taken forever, but today it's finally here when the former Seattle Coliseum and Key Arena have the first sporting event played in the new Climate Pledge Arena. Shout out to all the Kraken fans who made this happen with the outstanding support of the season ticket drive that got things rolling. And of course, John Clayton, this is not just big for sports fans or hockey fans, but the arena is for Seattle Center and for the city of Seattle. And, of course, John Clayton, we all applauded Chris Hansen for his efforts in building an arena in Soto, but I always maintained and took a lot of heat from blaring it on this show, John Clayton Show, among others at the time, that Key Arena was the solution. And that was a twofold thing, John Clayton. One, the Seattle Center, to remain relevant, it just had to have a viable arena. And secondly, and more importantly, the thought of Howard Dutch Schultz standing in the window of his Soto headquarters, looking down and feeling justified in his domino effect actions as Seattle Sonics owner was one that just drove me crazy. And speaking of the Sonics, John Clayton, the path is now paved for the return of the NBA to Seattle. I saw something recently that the commissioner of the NBA said Las Vegas is a city of interest. Despite not mentioning Seattle, it would seem like with the way that things went down, the Emerald City would already be grandfathered in. Anyway, John Clayton, I know you're short on time, But to help to kick the party off here at Buckley's, two blocks from the new palace that is Climate Pledge Arena, I'm leaving a $25 gift certificate at the bar for the first Kraken fan wearing a Kraken sweater that says Commando to the bartender. And lastly, John Clayton, to paraphrase the late Vikings and Cardinals head coach Dennis Green, the Huskies aren't who we thought they were. And last night,
hey, I've got to run here. We're right up against
my
it.
My best of Mrs. Clayton. Go Kraken. Go Dodgers. Go Seahawks.
Okay, and of course, coming up next is Washington State football. They take on BYU, and of course, we've got the pregame show coming up. Game's going to be at 12:30. This is John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.